Interesting Items 0403. Howdy all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. Hunted. 2. Indictment. 3. Response. 4. Informants. 5. Nashville. 6. Wind. 7. Cretarchy. 1. Hunted. A small exercise in persuasion to lead things off this week. Following the 2020 elections, one of Scott Adams' observations was that Republicans would be hunted after Biden took office. Turns out that was spot on. The first thing we need to do to solve a problem is identify the problem. Once you identify it, reframe it properly, then get about the business of solving it. 1,000 Republicans have already been hunted down for their presence in the Jan 6 protest. They weren't arrested that day on site. They were systematically hunted down for months at their homes nationwide, arrested, dragged to the DC gulag where they languished for years before trial, where they were charged, indicted, and convicted by a DC jury of Democrat peers. Garland's Justice Department is going after another 1,000. They will also have to be hunted. The IRS went to Matt Taibbi's home the day he testified before Congress. The operating assumption is that the visit was not a coincidence. Rather, it appears to be intimidation of a citizen. The IRS is hunting this American for not being sufficiently sympathetic to Democrats. The Trump indictment and expected gag order is also hunting that particular Republican. Scott Adams was canceled before 2024 election. The timing is convenient, as he is not viewed as a friendly asset for Democrats, so they removed him from the political playing field. Last week, he lost legal representation when the law firm his lawyer worked for forced him to drop the client. All cancellations were led by day people in the various companies. This leads us to the reframe of the day. Day is a hunting license for Republicans. How many examples do we have of a conservative heading up a day shop in any major company, government? Day is a vehicle to eliminate them from public and private life. Interesting that there are no conservatives running day to remove Democrats. This is a very clever tool. Once you have a day group, you can't ignore them, as you have enabled your own internal zampulet, political officers. When you pay people to find racism, they will, and will by definition use that racism to get rid of all Republicans. Once you enable the zampulet, they will be in charge of your business, government, for after turning them loose, how can you possibly tell them no? Republican response to this? Call day a hunting license. Propose legislation to label organization to disclose they are using day like we mandate warning labels on dangerous products, chemicals, cigarettes, etc. We label risky stuff. I can't think of anything riskier than day. 2. Indictment. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg indicted Donald Trump on 30 to 34 various charges, some of them felonies Friday. Apparently, he had two grand juries working, one on the Stormy Daniels charges and one on financial charges associated with the Trump Organization. It is the Trump Organization charges that carry the most danger for Trump as Bragg and his co-conspirators carefully selected the judge who presided over the trial, plea bargain, and conviction of the CFO of the Trump Organization on various financial charges earlier this year. Over the weekend, there were reports that the judge will impose a gag order on Trump early this week. That order may or may not coincide with the arrest and arraignment. A gag order on a presidential candidate, what a concept. What better way to meddle with an election than that? This should be a most interesting week, as Democrats do their level best to trigger another Republican protest they can turn into the next iteration of the Jan 6 so-called insurrection. Bragg won't be the only state DA doing this. I expect another 8 to 10 Trump indictments starting with Georgia over Trump's reaction to election fraud in Fulton County in 2020. They will be closely followed by Garland's hand-picked special counsel Jack Smith looking into the Mar-a-Lago classified and Jan 6 charges. Every single one of these is being pursued for two reasons. First, and foremost, to damage Trump. Second, if at all possible, to trigger some sort of reaction out of Republicans they can mangle into insurrection 2.0. 3. Response. So, If protests won't work and the few remaining adults in the Democrat Party are not sufficient to keep this from happening, what avenues do we have to return fire? There are a lot of state, county and local prosecutors and judges in red states and counties. I think it is time for red states to start investigating, indicting, charging, arresting and trying Democrats across the board. While we can't touch Biden himself, we most certainly can reach out and touch every single member of his family. We can also reach out and touch every single Biden appointee who is not doing their job, ignoring federal law and in doing so, breaking state law, Mayorkas, for instance. If Democrats want to turn the judicial system of this formerly great nation into rubble, it is up to us to make the rubble bounce. State attorneys general in TX and LA are already looking into charges. There will be others. It is up to us to go HL Mencken, give Democrats what they want and give it to them good and hard. 4. Informants. Looks like the sedition charges and trial against the Proud Boys for their part in Jan 6 was just as fraudulent as the 2020 Whitmer kidnap plot, where informants, FBI and other government plants, outnumbered group members. Worse, they once again orchestrated and led the festivities, with at least 20 informants embedded. The presiding judge, a Trump appointee, has been bending over backwards to enable the prosecution at the expense of the defense and any credible notion of a fair trial. A document detailing plans by the Proud Boys turned out to be prepared by the FBI. An informant embedded with them testified last week that the Proud Boys neither led nor inspired the break-in. He described it as herd mentality, though we do know that there were myriad feds embedded in the crowd egging them on, Ray Epps, you know who you are. The leader of the Proud Boys wasn't even in town for Jan 6. There was an informant who infiltrated the defense team, reporting everything back to her handlers in the FBI and in turn to, Injustice and the prosecutors. Defense finally found out about it last week, though she had been doing her dirty work for years. The government disclosed she was an informant the day before she was to appear as a defense witness, prompting a series of angry motions from the defense that the judge is furiously trying to fend off. Watch how seditious conspiracy is redefined to mean anything this government doesn't like. Gulag, indeed. In a related story, a lawyer representing Ray Epps sent a letter to FNC demanding an apology from Tucker Carlson for slandering his client as an FBI informant. Should this proceed, discovery will be a lot of fun. 5. Nashville. A trans man, woman to man, in her mid-20s shot up a private Christian school in Nashville last week, killing 3 9-year-olds, the principal and 2 other adults. She was engaged and shot by Nashville police who ran to the sound of gunfire. After an initial feint at gun control, the public discussion quickly pivoted toward trans as victims, with even the shooter portrayed as a victim. Media beating this drum ignored completely the Trans Day of Vengeance in D.C. last weekend. Loudmouths in the trans world were out waving firearms, promising not to allow themselves to be silenced. Interesting thing happened during the predictable festivities, as the notion of trans as a mental illness started making the rounds of polite conversation rather than being summarily censored, though there was a lot of that too. Anyone else remember the left's attempt to remove firearms from vets with PTSD on mental illness grounds? One of the things that those of us in the disabled community have been increasingly concerned with is the targeting of kids on the autistic spectrum by big trans. This concern has been around since at least 2016, though roundly denied by all participants. The shooter was reportedly on the autistic spectrum. What happens is that schools identify trouble kids, which includes all those on the spectrum. Identification of kids on the spectrum is difficult, as it takes a while to properly do this. Add to that the stigma associated with mental illness, and early identification only easily happens with the more severe cases. Treatment for those on the spectrum must be individually designed as it presents differently for different kids. Once you have a diagnosis, the school needs to prepare an individual education plan, IEP, an agreement between parents, educrats, and aides for the sorts of things that need to be done with the kid. While there is some free special education money from state and feds for each spec ed student, the schools typically want to maximize what they receive and minimize what they spend on each kid, getting to pocket the rest. But if they can identify these troubled kids as transitioning, they don't have to go through the IEP regime at all, which is a powerful incentive. Troubled kids are identified. They are told the reason they are unhappy is because they are mismatched with their biological sex and given a free ticket to what they are told is a better life. A lot of times, parents aren't even part of the early discussion, not finding out about any of it until the hormone treatments start. Other than the Trudeau plan to start euthanizing unhappy kids, I can't think of a more fundamentally evil operation. Note that there is another population of kids who are even more difficult to identify, those with fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, FASD, who generally look and act normal until they do something crazy. 6. Wind. Pushback against wind energy continued to grow last week on two fronts. First is an Oxford mathematician, physicist who published a 2023 paper blasting the government push for wind. He goes after it via all the usual avenues: expensive, unreliable, and inadequate to sustain even a small population with an acceptable standard of living. Worse, development of wind takes place despite its negative impact on the environment and wildlife. Both of those are excused and ignored. Wind has long been known as a clear and present danger to birds, particularly larger birds. But offshore wind development is increasingly criticized for negative impact on whale and dolphin populations, these days tied to unprecedented levels of strandings on the Atlantic coast from NJ, VA. Residents are tying the strandings to sonar surveys in preparation to installation of offshore wind farms, something the feds are summarily ignoring and denying. Note these are same feds who would jail you for getting too close to a dolphin or whale with a boat or selling something with an eagle feather. 7. Cretarchy. Cretarchy, cretocracy, is defined as the rule of judges, started by Moses and documented first in the Book of Exodus. This is not to be confused with a kakaocracy, the rule by the worst of people. Government unrest in Israel is related to an attempt to uproot an entrenched cretarchy installed for at least 30 years, and the Israeli Supreme Court is not going quietly, publicly supported by their allies on the political left in Israel who have taken to the streets. The problem is that the Israeli Supreme Court runs the system, having grabbed power over the last 30 years. The court appoints lower court judges. A judicial selection committee recommends new judges to the President of Israel. If a name is not on the list, no appointment. Judges here in Alaska are nominated much the same way. Membership of the committee in Israel is structured so that the elected branches of the government have no real power over the judges and lawyers. Over the years, the Israeli Supreme Court has aggregated more power step by step. They are both partisan and leftist. Once elected, the new Netanyahu government promised legislation to redefine the Israeli judiciary. Leftist response has been consistent and nasty. Last week, he announced he was delaying the legislation pending a full national discussion. In a parliamentary system, this may be a death knell for his government. Odo, he has made a career of coming back from all manner of political disasters. As we found during the Trump years, there are no longer any rules for the political left, which is ready, willing and able to toss every single precedent or norm overboard as long as the outcome politically benefits them. We are seeing the same thing in Israel, generally by the same sorts of leftists. This started out ugly and will get worse. More later. A.G. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams, Speech at the Philadelphia State House, August 1, 1776.